Well, it's Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat, Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, a Republican who served at the State House. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. Republicans are celebrating passage of their tax overhaul plan this week in Congress, but Democrats are predicting that it will come back to haunt them in the 2018 midterms. Cynthia, are you among them?
I think that the tax bill will ultimately be an albatross for Republicans, because not only will so few Americans actually realize any substantial savings in their taxes when they do them, but the repeal of the Affordable Care Act mandate essentially shifts the whole health care debacle from the Democrats to the Republicans. And so not only are they going to be holding the bag when it comes to people's taxes and that issue alone, but also with the confusion in the healthcare market, people are going to blame Republicans. So I think this is not a win for Republicans yet.
Meredith, Jesse Ferguson, former director at the Democratic National Campaign Committee, was quoted in one news report as saying, "Calling this thing a win because Republicans finally got something done is like saying the captain of the Titanic won when he successfully found that reclusive iceberg."
You know, I don't believe that's really true at all. And, you know, I think that once everybody sort of stops some of the hysteria, obviously we all have to do some unpacking of this bill and seeing how it's all going to fold, work out here. Susan Collins has two more bills that, you know, she wants to get in, but they're sort of holding her at bay now for January that really address some of the healthcare subsidies, and pieces of sort of the rest of that equation. There's some that are sort of saying, you know, that'll never happen. But, you know, Susan is pretty smart lady, and she works very, very hard. So I do believe that, you know, we'll have a chance to see those, even if it's going to be in January. And that's another piece of the equation before everybody starts doom and gloom and all over the healthcare conversation. And remember, you know, people don't really know or won't really see the benefits of the results of this tax bill until they do their taxes in 19. So, it's going to take a little while here. Although, having said that, it all goes into effect January 1st.
Dick, will the effects of the bill be felt in any way such that U.S. Taxpayers might be angry in 2018 and blame the GOP next November?
Keith, you'll remember in 2009 here in Maine, the Democrats passed a partisan tax reform bill for Maine. And there was a substantial backlash here in Maine that led to, many believe, the takeover of the Republicans in the House and Senate in 2010, the takeover of the Blaine House by Republicans, by Governor LePage in 2010. A lot of that move was attributed to the fact that the Democrats had advanced this tax reform that was not popular. I think there's a chance we're going to see that reverse play out on the national stage with this tax reform.
Even if taxpayers won't see directly the impacts until the following year?
Well, it's partly that the feeling of the impacts, but it's more just the aura around what's been done. And obviously that will be publicized a great deal over the course of the campaigns, both the deficit exploding aspects of the bill and the fact that this is such a large cut to the wealthiest among us.
Let's turn to the governor's race here in Maine. The field of Democrats is growing, with interest being shown by Sean Faircloth, a former state legislator, jumping into the Democratic field, which would make an even dozen candidates in that primary. With all of those running, is it harder to get qualifying signatures and raise money for public funding for Democrats, for example, Cynthia?
Well, I don't think the number of candidates impacts the ability to collect signatures because I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe citizens can sign the petitions for numerous candidates. So if there's any large gathering of Democrats, all of the candidates will have equal access. And that's same for the clean elections. I mean, you can contribute a clean elections donation to multiple candidates. So, but where the number of candidates really, where the rubber hits the road is people who are privately financing their campaigns, they're all going to the same donors. I mean, Maine is a small state to begin with, and so you have just a large field of people calling the same small group of donors. And that's – I don't think we're seeing a lot of – we're not seeing really much of any of the campaigns because they don't have the funding yet and the resources. I think that's going to be the biggest impact is on the private financing of campaigns.
So we've got 9 of the 25 candidates that are running, quote-unquote, clean or using the Maine Clean Elections Act to fund their campaign. So if you qualify, which simply means that you get your X number of $5 checks in, they instantly get $400,000 just for the primary. And then whoever sort of makes it forward for each party will get another $600,000. And this is where the big concern comes in, is that if 9 of these candidates were to qualify, that's, 400,000 times 9, that's a tremendous amount of taxpayer dollar being used in this primary. The coffer, as I understand, has about $1.5 million in it. So that's where the debate's going to come along.
Dick, how much of a factor in this is the ranked choice voting system, which supporters have said would grow interest and attract candidates who otherwise might not jump in? Was it a factor at all this time around, or was it just this open seat?
It may be some factor, but I think the far bigger issue is that there's no clear favorite who's gone into the field. And so people who are interested in public service, trying to make a difference for the state, see it as an open seat that's really genuinely wide open, and they're giving it a go. What I will say about ranked choice voting is that it's a very sensible way to narrow that down without people feeling that they've wasted their vote or have to think strategically about it all. So this really is a case where, what ranked choice voting was designed to address.
All of the participation on the Democratic side is a really healthy thing, in my view. Like, I think it's great that so many people are running. It is going to be challenging to get access to donors, which means there's going to be a lot of retail politics, people going to small meetings, riding around the state in a car and showing up with maybe 15 people at a PTA meeting or whatever. That's a healthy thing as opposed to having one front runner, because there always seems to be a lot of resentment. If there is one front runner, there seems to be a sense that the election is fixed and that the party somehow has, their thumb on the scale. And so with so many candidates, it's going to be hard to say that one person has, an advantage over the others.
All right. Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.